CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome from the Foundation of the Defense of Democracies, research fellow Andrea Stricker. Andrea is here to help me for two organizations, part of a larger umbrella reform recommendations from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies about international organizations that can use some updating, some redesigning, in order to satisfy the threats of the 21st century. We begin with one that is not very well known by title, but you'll certainly recognize the reporting. It's called the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, OPCW. It is an international organization that follows the Convention on the Prohibition of the Development, Production, Stockpiling, and Use of Chemical Weapons. However, Andrea, a very good evening to you. I go to the breaking news that Alexei Navalny, now condemned to a gulag life for several years by the Russian Federation courts. Alexei Navalny was the target of a chemical weapons attack. We're told that the attackers were related directly to state security and the Kremlin. They attacked him with a well-known substance, Novichok. We've had that before. And they meant to kill him. Is this a matter of concern for OPCW? Do they open an inquiry when they read these reports? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Great to be here. So the OPCW has not done much on the Alexei Navalny case. They have not moved to demand a full disclosure of Russia's chemical weapons program or establish an investigation. This is due to the inherent weaknesses of this organization, in fact. It requires votes by member states. So we have 193 member states in the OPCW. In the policymaking body called the Executive Council, you need a vote of two-thirds to ask for an investigation. Even if you get an investigation, you may not get Moscow to cooperate or allow the OPCW in. So states like the United States don't even try to push for this. Moscow also has undue influence on many states in the OPCW. So countries just often want to abstain on decisions that would rock the boat with Russia. So at the OPCW, the U.S., U.K., France, all of our excellent partners, they should be pushing for Russia to disclose its program or face suspension is what we would advocate.
The Novichok attack is not singular. There was an attack in 2018. Novichok against two Russian emigres. Well, one emigre, one Russian citizen in the United Kingdom. So what we're to understand is the OPCW didn't read the headlines, or it's required for a member to bring it forward and for all members to participate in the decision for the inquiry. What's the where is the weakness here? Bringing it forward or getting unanimity in the organization?
That's right. So actually, there's a mechanism that the OPCW has available. It's called a challenge inspection, and it only requires one country to request an inspection in another country. This has never been used because it is so controversial, and because you have one member state calling for the OPCW to go into another, it inherently becomes political, and it becomes riddled with all kinds of international diplomacy problems. You're correct. In the UK in 2018, the Russians sent intelligence agents to try to assassinate a former double agent named Sergei Skripal. They ended up killing a British mother of three some months later, whose partner had actually stumbled upon the Novichok that was transported in a perfume bottle and sprayed it on herself. So this created a huge international incident. But ultimately, the UK, the US, resorted to sanctions instead of taking action through the OPCW.
The OPCW, I learned from Andrea's reporting, is headquartered in The Hague, Netherlands, has three main bodies, the Executive Council, the All-Member Conference of States Parties, and the Technical Secretariat. Let's turn to another item that's been in the news for many years now, at least dating to the Obama administration, if not before. This is the chemical weapons attacks alleged in Syria by elements loyal to Bashar al-Assad, who is now profoundly linked to the Kremlin. You will recall there was a moment when the United States was calling for these chemical weapons to be expunged with a strike, with a military strike on Syria. At that point, Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, came forward and offered to remove the chemical weapons, and that backed off everybody from a what would have been a war-fighting situation. This is in the Obama administration. Andrea, the chemical weapons that the Russia removed were always presented to me to be only part of the large arsenal that Syria has. Perhaps some of Syria's arsenal, in fact, was moved from Iraq during the American invasion of Iraq because of the Saddam Hussein regime also had chemical weapons they wanted to remove. But we won't walk the cat back that far. We'll just stay with 2013. Right now, does OPCW involve itself in Syria in seeking out undiscovered arsenals of chemical weapons in the control of the Syrian government?
Yes, they do. They're still looking into it. They're still playing cat and mouse with the Syrian government. As you mentioned, the OPCW was able to start going into Syria around 2013, 2014, after the regime started using chemical weapons. The Russians, we had hoped, would broker a solution where Syria joined the OPCW in September 2013. The U.S. even helped dispose of some of the chemicals using a military ship at sea. But that, of course, wasn't the end of the story. Assad hadn't declared everything and continued using these weapons. The UNSC, the UN Security Council, also became involved in investigating, but Russia has vetoed the mandate of the UNSC to keep helping. That occurred in 2017, and then Russia also shielded Syria from sanctions. So fast forward to July 2020, the OPCW's Executive Council, that's the 41-member state policymaking body, they finally gave Syria 90 days to demonstrate compliance with the Chemical Weapons Convention or face suspension from the OPCW. So it would have its voting rights and ability to hold office restricted. Much longer after, due to the pandemic, the Conference of States Parties finally moved to suspend Syria in April. So the OPCW no longer has Syria voting there, but it continues to call on Syria to comply with its obligations.
We've touched upon some of the challenges for the OPCW. Recommendations, because this is a blueprint for the future to correct, course correction is what we would call it on our way to the moon. Andrea, I want to start with the boss, because if there is to be a change of atmosphere, it comes from the top, the director general. How is that process, and is it distributed, you know, uniformly from Asia to Africa to South America, the way some other international organizations choose directors? Does the U.S. have say in this in some fashion?
Yes, actually, the U.S. has a pretty large say in who becomes director general. And the OPCW does distribute votes regionally, so that it is helpful and it's equitable. But the current OPCW director general, we believe, could be more proactive in publicizing and redressing compliance failures with the Chemical Weapons Convention. There's a new election coming up in the fall, I believe. And the winner should assume office in mid-2022. So we're at FDD, we're calling on the Biden administration to support somebody who may make waves and will publicize these issues and will maybe fly to Moscow to talk about chemical weapons use and embarrass countries that continue to violate this international norm that has held up pretty well over decades, but is really under assault right now.
Russia's used Novichok very effectively, not only to attempt to kill, but also to intimidate its enemies, its adversaries, and people who might be thinking of betraying the Kremlin and getting away by living in London. Is there a way to remove Russia from the OPCW? Can it be, does the charter allow you to expunge a primary member?
I believe it does. It does suspend countries. I'm not sure that there's a way to kick them out entirely. But yes, I mean, Moscow has been using chemical weapons, and it clearly continues a program to assassinate enemies of the state, at least since 2018, but likely before. The nonprofit group Bellingcat along with other media outlets, have tracked ongoing efforts by the Russian FSB to maintain a program. Unfortunately, we probably will have to rely on sanctions to penalize Russia and stand up to Putin and say that you can't continue to do this. And they will continue to undermine the OPCW. They create all kinds of procedural hassles. They've hacked the organization, and they continue to use misinformation and disinformation campaigns to denigrate its work on behalf of it in Syria.
And the Navalny attack, there again, I come back to that. The Navalny attack is so straightforwardly a use of chemical weapons against a civilian. Is there a mechanism to move that story? Again, because Navalny's not going away. He's alive, and he has much to say when he finally escapes the gulag.
Absolutely. So at the OPCW, we think that we should table a Syria model decision. So we should give Russia 90 days to disclose its program or face suspension. So there's no reason to wait years and years like we did with Syria and allow Putin the same leeway to continue using these weapons and eroding the legitimacy of the OPCW and international norms against chemical weapons. We also in the United States have a law called the Chemical and Biological Weapons Control Act. And the Biden administration owes Congress a second round of sanctions because Russia continues this chemical weapons program. So we need to stand up to Putin. We need to take stronger action across the board because he will just continue to provoke wherever he can.
Andrea Stricker is a research fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies and author of a recent blueprint for course correction of the Organization for the Prevention of Chemical Weapons. We're going to turn to the big one next, the IAEA and nukes. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.